earth, and sky.
Whether we like to think of our food being grown artificially or not, I think we're going to have to face up to the fact that some form of indoor farming will replace the outdoor farms that we currently support.
You're listening to microbiologist and public health expert Dixon DePalmier of Columbia University. And I'm Jorge Salazar for Earth Skies, Clear Voices for Science. DePalmier said that human population by mid-century will outpace the ability of outdoor farms to grow enough food to feed everyone. His vision is to bring farming indoors, into the city, in buildings, through what he calls vertical farms. More about it with Dixon DePalmier. Dr. DePalmier, welcome to Earth Skies, Clear Voices for Science.
Thank you very much. Pleasure to be here.
So tell me more about what you describe as vertical farms.
Well, first of all, I would love to tell you what a vertical farm actually looks like and how it works, but so far as I know, there haven't been any built yet. So I will tell you the projects that we've worked on in order to bring this concept to the point of the drawing board so that we can actually begin to construct one. It's got characteristics that are easy to describe. The first one is the fact that it must produce food continuously. Secondly, it must produce most of the kinds of foods that the world cuisines demand, namely most of the common grains, most of the common green vegetables, and many of the fruits and herbs and spices that you and I consume on a daily basis. That then has to also behave in an ecologically sound fashion. Now, that's a bit of a trick because no horizontal farming behaves this way, and most greenhouse operations don't behave this way either. The fact is that when there's waste, we have a very difficult time knowing what to do with that waste. We spend millions and occasionally billions of dollars trying to either hide our waste or sell it to somebody else or allow some other process to deal with it. For instance, we put it in rivers and allow the townships and the countries down below us to deal with those things.
Well, right. And these are waste from agriculture, but also things we put in the garbage can here in cities, things that businesses throw away in the dumpsters. And this is stuff that we even flush down the toilet.
That's right. We're talking about the waste that's created, if you want to look at it that way, after we eat our food. If you go out to the Serengeti Plain, however, the gnus that eat the grass deposit half of that uneaten grass in the form of gnu dung, and that is then recycled into nutrients by the dung beetles, and the next thing you know, you've got more plants growing up, you've got more dung beetles, and you have more gnus, of course. So if you could behave that simply in a large city, you could solve a major problem of sustainability that we now face.
Earth's population is expected to increase from 6.6 billion to 9 billion by mid-century. How do vertical farms fit in this world?
Let's begin with that premise of population growth. If the predictions are from most of the conservative groups of population predictors, like the Population Council and the World Health Organization, both of those august bodies predict that in another 50 years, there'll be another 3 billion people. It's possible that the AIDS epidemic will actually change that number back down to around 2.8 billion, but that's still a lot of people. The agronomists tell us that if we were to continue to farm the way we're doing it now, that you'd need about 10 to the 9th hectares more land in order to provide food for these people. And so when you compute how much 10 to the 9th hectares is, it turns out to be the size of Brazil. And just in perspective, Brazil is a larger landmass than the contiguous 48 states of the United States. So today we're farming 80% of the landmass of the world. And there isn't another Brazil-sized piece of land left to devote to farming for these new people that are bound to arrive if things go the way they're going now. So, and another fact that is worth keeping in mind is the fact that in another 30 years, about 80% of the world's population will live within cities. So I think that vertical farming has a real chance to allow a lot of people to live in a sustainable fashion within a large urban center and still not upset the apple cart, so to speak. And that's not a pun, but you can use it if you'd like. So what vertical farming really promises, though, is to give land back to damaged ecosystems that were damaged to make room for the farms. If you could take 1 acre of indoor land, say, for instance, and grow wheat, which can be done easily, by the way, and then you get continuous production of that wheat, and in each of these acres of property, so to speak, inside, you could get 3 or 4 layers of wheat per room. You can easily see how this might multiply out to 5, maybe 10 acres of wheat produced 3 times a year inside of a building. That's a lot of land that you could actually give back to nature outside that you don't need to have any longer because the wheat can be grown now closer to where we live. If we have the trees back, then we can start sucking up CO2 from the atmosphere that we're busy putting into the atmosphere, and at the same time, we can have our food. So this looks like, I know it sounds rather idealistic at this point because it seems to be solving 2 major problems all at the same time. And that's exactly what I'm suggesting it does, is solve 2 problems at the same time.
So can a city really feed itself through vertical farms?
For every 50,000 people living in an urban center, they would require a building 1 square New York City block in footprint and 30 stories high. Using the crops that the National Aeronautics and Space Administration has already identified as crops that they would like to take to places like the moon or Mars or beyond. So with a healthy diet, which would include things like mollusks and fish and crustaceans and chickens and ducks and perhaps geese, but no higher than that. I wouldn't put pigs inside, although they do that throughout Europe and in some parts of Southeast Asia. You could certainly feed 50,000 people with a building that size. So if you just did the math and said for a city the size of New York, 7.5 million, you might need 120 of these buildings. So then the big question comes to mind, of course, as a developer or as the mayor of New York, where would you put these buildings? Because it appears that there's no room for these buildings within this very, very expensive landscape that we've created for ourselves. But surprisingly, if you look at New York City as a large sprawl and include all 5 boroughs, all you have to do is go out to Brooklyn. And all you have to do is go to Floyd Bennett Air Force Base, which has been abandoned since 1970. It's got a huge amount of city property that's going to waste right now. No one is using it for anything. Building vertical farms within urban centers is not only possible, it's going to happen. I can already tell you that the countries of Holland and China have formed a consortium to invent metropolitan agriculture. That's the initiative that they set forth last year. I had the privilege of being at that meeting when that was announced by both governments. And I think that within a 2 or 3 year period from now, you will actually see vertical farms going up in China and in Holland.
You've been listening to Dixon DePalmier on Vertical Farms. DePalmier is professor of public health and microbiology with the Mailman School of Public Health at Columbia University. To subscribe to this and other free science podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar, and you're listening to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
We're at earthsky.org.